Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Junkies back with you on 106.7 The Fan, and we are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. We thank you for tuning in this Monday morning, March 26th, 2018. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Hallville.
Hello, everybody.
And Jason Bishop.
Hey, what's up?
Cakes had a little rough there.
You need
a loogie cup like Jason
there.
Bishop?
Just a tad froggy. I was channeling my inner Jason Bishop.
Jason has his two cups.
I think all is
well
now.
You never mix them up, right? One's a water cup, one's a loogie cup.
No, because I put a napkin in the loogie cup.
Yes. Yeah, to avoid such circumstances.
Yeah, man. Oh. I got it down. I've been doing it long enough.
He's down to science. He's good.
What's going on, boys?
Packed weekend for myself. I had a bachelor party, had a one-year-old birthday party. They were definitely different. One-year-old birthday party at the house. My house is not really built to have 16 kids that are under the age of four in the house.
That sounds like a full-on
debacle. Because I have a very tall townhouse, but it's narrow.
Wow, 16?
I think it was 16. Mm.
Yeah, so you have a young child. You're in the phase where you're doing the big, elaborate birthday parties.
Yeah, because you
kinda figure out of that now.
My wife had like 10 friends that have one-year-olds. A lot of them have siblings.
Yeah, sure.
Wow, and so they all come over to the house.
But I envy you for those days. I'd like to be back in those days, that's for sure.
So we had that party yesterday, and then I had a bachelor party the night before. We went over to MGM National Harbor. By the way, Cakes and I, we're going to say this all week.
Yes.
We're hosting a Final Four event at Tap Sports Bar for... It's Saturday night.
I think it's for the
college basketball games. I knew it right after I said it.
The national semifinals event that we're doing.
You're not
the college
to say
basketball
it.
Yeah. games. We're going to be at Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor.
Correct. Starting at 5 p.m.
Yes.
5 p.m. Saturday, we will see you there.
So did a bachelor party on Saturday night where we went to MGM National Harbor, had dinner at Voltaggio, which was awesome.
Yep.
I switched it up this time. I went the flank steak.
Okay.
And
I like flank steak. It's good. Good.
I think it was 10 guys, maybe 9 guys, and everybody got their own side. But sides are shareable.
Sure.
I had never dabbled with their potatoes au gratin, which it's not fancy. I think my mom used to make them growing up. But they were spectacularly good.
Yeah,
at
sure.
Voltage,
they should be.
And then we went to Jim Norton's show, which was awesome.
Was it?
He was great.
He slayed.
Yeah. Unbelievably good. Because the people before him were good.
Mm-hmm.
I always say this. I've said this before. There are levels at everything. Whether it's sports. Like I remember I did that ABA bit years ago with the Maryland Nighthawks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I remember just running the weave with these guys who were minor league basketball players. Mm-hmm. Guys who weren't even special college hoops players. I mean, some of them were like their leading scorer for their college program. But they weren't unbelievable college basketball players.
Right.
They're playing professionally, making little money. And I ran the weave drill, and they got down in 3 passes, and I was like, holy crap. It was so fast. They were flying so high, and they were minor leaguers. And same thing with comedians, that opening act was really good.
Mm-hmm.
The showcase, I think they call it the opener of the showcase, was really good.
Yeah.
But then the headliner, Jim Norton, was just, he just has the audience in the palm of his hands for now.
Yeah. Now you went to the MGM for dinner, but wasn't Norton at the Improv?
Yes.
Oh, so he went over to the Improv.
So we did an Uber to the Improv, then come back.
And that's where you stayed.
MGM.
And it's cool to see Norton in a small room like that, because he's gotten to the level where he can and does play bigger rooms than the DC Improv, but obviously he has a relationship with the Improv, comes
awesome.
Into town and does a gig there. So it's cool to see him in a place that seats around, I don't know, 300, 350.
And because he was on the radio, he couldn't do really any of the material. He has one of the dirtiest acts of all time.
Oh,
I mean, it's just, he starts asking the crowd what their genre of porn that they're into.
Right.
Which puts a lot of guys on the spot. Like, he'll go, what are you into? And the girlfriend or wife is right next to him.
Right.
And they clearly have a hidden life.
That's awkward.
Whether it's Asian, MILF, whatever the heck they're doing. And some of the guys are like,
yeah, they just didn't want to answer.
Thank God. Well, the table was in the back.
Well, he got a little dirty in studio on Friday.
A little taste.
Although, you know, people on NBC Sports Washington couldn't see it because they dumped it. But he got a little bit in there.
But he's so awesome. I mean, there are levels. Like, he's at the top of his game. Like you said, he does some stadiums and do a smaller room.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great time.
Yeah.
And then we went back to MGM National Harbor, and I had to roll. So I left at 1 in the morning, but I ended up kind of bankrolling the guy who's getting married. Just gave him like $70 to play one of these games. Oh, my God. The house. It's funny because the Uber driver... And I know this isn't the case, but the Uber driver was saying that certain games are rigged.
Right.
They're not rigged. They're just highly in the favor of the dealer.
Of course they are.
So whenever somebody would have three of a kind, it was playing the ultimate Texas Hold'em game because every table was packed. Mm-hmm. Every table was packed. So you'd have to,
have you seen the money
you saw maybe one chair open, you would just say, well, I guess I'm playing this game, even though I don't know how to play Baccarat or whatever, right? So you, I mean, like every blackjack table, full.
Right.
Every craps table, every roulette table. And this is 12:30 at night. Like, I don't go out late. I don't go out to clubs where there's music. Boom.
Right.
Boom,
so you,
right. Boom.
You rarely see that.
Right.
You
so it's like a whole different
it's
world that's out there. Right.
Yeah. Right.
So it's 12:30 at night. Every table is full. Now it is Saturday night. I get it. But so we finally found a table that was like the Texas Hold'em, ultimate Texas Hold'em game.
And I swear to God. I've dabbled with that before.
Right? I swear.
So
every time you'd get a pair, and a pair usually would win, then they'd have a straight. You'd get a straight, then they would have a flush. I mean, just every time.
Right, right.
And it says $25 min, but it's $25 min, but you have to do the ante and the blinds.
Right.
It's really a $50 game. And then if you want to bet your hand, you got to put another $25. So it's a minimum $75 if you want to play a hand. So then you finally play. So let's say you fold your 50. All right, let's say you're willing to lose $200, which is like my range.
Oh, that's 3 minutes.
I'm not a high roller,
that's
right?
3 minutes at
so
the table.
So you have your $50 out there, and you have dog crap cards. So you fold, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you put up another 50 again. You're like, all right, I'm going to bet. Put another 25. So they got 75 on the table. You're like, all right, I got a pair of kings. And then the flush comes out.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's uncanny.
That's why that place makes $55 million a month or whatever they make.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, don't be surprised.
But it's fun. It's fun. I was only able to stay there for a while. But again, Cakes and I, there are semifinal games in college basketball.
Right. Semifinal.
Four teams.
Yes. National semifinal.
There are four
Correct.
Teams playing.
There are four teams. Exactly.
It's college basketball, and we're
and
hosting a party.
And it's the end.
Yeah.
Tap.
It's, it's the end four.
Some and they really need us there, Cakes. They really need us there. Because let me tell you something. That place was jammed on Saturday
night.
Yeah,
they really need us there to bring people to the establishment.
Jam. But Tap in particular.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Was jammed on Saturday night.
Are we doing a broadcast from MGM at all this week? We're not, right?
No.
No. All right. Ron was texting me and asking me if we're doing a broadcast on Friday.
You just gave him what he wanted. He wanted attention dollars.
I just didn't understand it. I mean,
he wants actually Jason Bishop attention dollars.
By the way, speaking of the MGM, Valdez and Drabby, you'll appreciate this.
Oh, I know this story.
You have a story?
The blackjack tournament.
Yeah, the tournament, yeah.
So MGM hosted a blackjack tournament, a guaranteed, an invite-only $250,000 guarantee blackjack tournament.
Tasty.
All right, winner take all.
Yeah.
So in a blackjack tournament, instead of, you know, a normal blackjack table where you're just trying to beat the dealer and you're just trying to make as much money as possible, well, you're just trying to outlast the other people in the tournament.
Okay.
So if there are six people at a table, you're just trying to outlast the other five.
Do we know how many people total are in the tournament?
I think there was maybe Valdez. No, I think there's about 150. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right.
And how many chips do
you
get?
It's a winner take all?
Yeah.
Winner take all?
Yeah, winner take all.
$250,000?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, okay. So what happens is there's always like a full table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the winner, whoever has the most chips after X amount of hands, moves on to like like the final table.
Final table. And then the final table gets whittled down to one.
Okay.
And that guy wins.
Yeah.
I don't know how many chips you get. Let's just say it's 20,000.
Chips?
Yeah.
So you just have to be the last person with chips out of the 150 people. Who won the guarantee? Thomas C. Mooney.
Hold on, he won the whole thing?
Yes. I can't even believe it.
I mean, the rich get richer.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, can he get
so
the horseshoe?
He won a, I'm a little confused. He won $250,000?
He won $250,000.
Jelly.
Who wouldn't be?
250K in his pocket.
Can he?
Now, unless there
if
was,
he just won $250,000,
unless there was
gambling,
some sort of a chop.
Can he then just, like, absolve you from paying your half of the condo?
Absolutely
that
not.
That would be really nice. That'd be really
I mean,
nice.
$250,000?
Now, he's got a kid at University of Georgia. He's got a kid that's going to Gonzaga.
Right.
He's got a kid that's going to be in college in another year. And he's going to be paying big tuitions in the
so
next
that money's all
years.
Spent already.
But still.
It's nice to throw it on the pile.
Exactly.
He got a free $250,000.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know what they do
well,
on the
taxes.
Well,
he's in the highest tax bracket, so half
okay,
of the
he got a free $150,000.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Point is, he didn't have it.
Right.
And now he has it.
Look, he earned it by playing good, solid blackjack,
right.
I guess.
Well, you got to get lucky. I mean, you got to get lucky for 4 or 5 hours.
Rob
or 8 hours.
Rob is so jelly.
Of course he is.
And somebody else is getting blackjack
shine on
the
Rob
show.
Rob is listening to it right now. Yeah. He's like, he's pulling his what little hair he's got left out.
Hey, you know what? Thomas C. Mooney is the new blackjack king of this show.
In D.C.
Of the entire D.C. metro area. Rom, right. You're now number two.
Apparently there were 96 people.
All right, 96? So 96. Yeah.
That's a lot of cake.
It's unbelievable.
Incredible.
Wow. It's a great, great takedown by Thomas C. Mooney. He won it because he clutched.
You've been playing blackjack with him for years, you know, with Atlantis and different spots.
Yeah.
Did you ever believe that he was a great blackjack player?
I mean, he knows the rules. Right. I mean, he's not a
well,
card
a monkey
counter.
He can know the rules. Yeah, yeah. All you need is a little chart.
I've known this about him. He's been as lucky a person in the blackjack table as I've ever
I
seen.
Mean, a robot can
so
roll
maybe he's actually good.
Because when you have to outlast 95 people, you're not just you're not just good at knowing
right,
the rules.
Luck involved.
You've got to be lucky.
Absolutely.
And he's always been pretty damn lucky. I mean, he's had times where he's lost money. I mean,
yeah.
I've seen that too. But
he's
had times where he hits it big.
Well, this is a big tick mark in the W column.
That's a big
this
W.
This is a big dub.
A big dub.
Thomas C. Mooney.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
So congrats to him.
Yeah, congrats. Job well done.
Did we know anybody else who was in that? Our buddy Vic was in it.
No, one listener I know.
Oh, yeah.
That I play with.
Well, our buddy Vic was also in it.
Oh, he was?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
When I go to like MGM National Harbor and I walk by the high limit area,
yeah,
I just can't relate when the minimum hand's $200. Because you have to have a serious roll, I believe, if your minimum bet is $200.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be out in one bet, Cakes.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, you need to go over there with some deep pockets.
I'd be like, all right, I'll bet on black and roulette. All right, I'm done.
Look,
that's red.
I know this area probably fills up from time to time, but whenever I'm there, it's usually empty. The high limit slots area right outside of the poker room. I rarely see anybody in there, but I'm sure there are people in there at some point. There's a reason they
but
have
you
that
you also
room.
Go at noon on a Tuesday.
Generally, yeah. That's generally my move.
Saturday, I will tell you, I don't think there was an area that wasn't buzzing.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
I'm sure
they didn't even have a show that night. There wasn't Cher wasn't there
right.
or Tom Jones or whoever else is
and
playing
And they're
there.
Bumping up the table men's. No
yep.
longer are there any, oh, here's a $15 blackjack table.
You're not gonna
oh,
see that.
Really? On a Saturday night? I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
It's
no,
like that's a great time. So people should come out
By the
Saturday
way, that's what
night.
Every casino does if it's crowded.
Of course.
Saturday, come out, you gamble, you say hello to Cakes and I.
Yep.
You watch the college basketball games. There are four teams playing that night.
Mm-hmm.
Semifinal games.
Right.
And then you
that's
go out and lose more money.
That's the end for appearance
yes,
at TAP.
The end four. Yes, correct. TAP Sports Bar where they have, I think, over 90 beers.
The conclusion
yes.
four.
Yes. The finale four.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can say that.
I think you can get away with it. We'll just roll with it until somebody tells us otherwise. It's the national semifinals viewing party.
Yes.
That's the way everybody describes it.
I know this.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of energy at MGM Grand.
I bet there.
Why
MGM
is that?
National Harbor. Well,
yes.
Probably MGM Grand in Vegas, too. But at MGM National Harbor.
I got to say, I need a five-hour energy
well,
this morning.
Well, who doesn't?
I definitely need one this morning. Because I'm just a little bit sluggish. I'm dragging a little bit. Actually had the Moonies over for dinner last night.
You did? Yeah. I hope they brought...
I
hope they brought surf and turf.
They brought a Caesar salad.
That's all they brought?
Yeah, yeah.
You want 125K? Or 250K?
Right, and get a, that's what I get, a Caesar salad.
That's great.
Oh, and strawberry shortcake.
Tell that cheapskate to bring you some caviar, something silly.
But it's Monday. That means everyone's just a bit more sluggish than usual. Are you one of those donks who's stuck in first gear today? I am. Grab a five-hour energy, get alert, get focused. Go buy a whole box of them if you want. Right now, 5-Hour Energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops Tournament. You've got the ability to swap your incorrect selections during the tournament as the game is being played. You see an upset in the making? Swap the favorite out to ensure your bracket is 100% correct. You still have time. Just go to 5hourenergybrackets.com. That's 5hourenergybrackets.com or click on the link on the fandc.com's homepage.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now to give you the code word of the hour in our cash flash, the code word is dress. Text dress to 72881 before 7 a.m. for your chance to win $1,000. In this multi-market contest, that's dress to 72881. Message data rates apply. The next cash flash comes up at 7 a.m. with our guy, Pete Medhurst.
If you win it 250 times, you'll get as much money as Thomas Mooney.
That's such a catchy tune right there.
It's a really good tune.
Is that Train?
It is, yeah. Train. I think it wasn't catchy when they did it live in concert? Catchy.
I bet it was.
Very good.
Was that one of my requests months ago or weeks ago, Valdez?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so put that, it in the system.
Yeah, to put it in the system. It takes like 15 minutes to put each car, a song in the system.
You're making Valdez do a lot of extra work.
I've laid off the last few weeks.
That's good.
Very grateful.
Yeah. Just means he's about to pick it up again.
It's going
to
be a barrage.
I know. He's just going to start firing.
Yeah, it's going to be a flurry. Once the Masters is done, look out.
Yeah, watch out.
It's going to be coming.
By the way, congrats to our friend Denny McCarthy. Finished fourth. In the Corrales Championship in Punta Cana this past weekend.
That's nice.
Which was the alternate event on the PGA Tour because all the big dogs played in the match play.
Right.
In Austin. But Denny finished solo fourth for
144K. That is a nice score.
And I believe since he finished in the top five, that gets him into the tournament in Houston this week.
Sweet.
Pretty sure about that. I got to confirm it.
Who were the top three?
A guy named Bryce Garnett won the tournament wire to wire. I'd have to look at the leaderboard to see if he finished second.
So just to put it in perspective, Denny McCarthy was grinding for four rounds, made 144K.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas C. Mooney stood in front of a table and had a dealer flipping cards.
Stood.
Guarantee he was sitting. He might have been sitting, and he made $105,000 more.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But like you said, the rich get richer.
Absolutely. It's the way the world works. Who was lucky the last time they went to MGM National Harbor?
I don't know what you're talking about, JP. I think that's scheduled for later in the show. I think you're trying to spoil something that's happening in the next segment.
But we'll get to that. We'll get to that down the road.
Always go in the same order, Cakes. You know they have a lucky table promotion at MGM National Harbor?
They do.
And yes. Somebody you know might have been lucky recently.
I know. So I'm not the
again
only one.
Again.
I might have gotten lucky on Friday. That might have happened.
Well, for the second
this
time.
This person gets lucky a lot.
Well, it's the second time, okay, in like the last three or four visits. But let's not forget all of the times where I was sitting at the tables and my lucky table was not drawn. Just happens that it's been hot the last couple of visits. That's all.
Hey.
Nothing crazy. No shenanigans. I know that Valdez and Drab T-shirt think that there's some grand conspiracy going on at MGM National Harbor. Everything's on the up and up. All right, let's open up the Junkie Sports page. We can get into the college basketball games.
Yeah, the conclusion four. By the way, to answer your question, Keith Mitchell finished second and Kelly Kraft finished third ahead of Denny at the Corrales. I'm sure those are names that you're very familiar
Didn't
with.
Tony Romo finish dead last, I believe, in the field?
Tony Romo finished dead last, yes. Didn't make the cut and shot 77-82. But he's an amateur.
God, I would die for that.
Of course. I'm joking, but I'll never, ever approach numbers like that on a golf course.
Yeah, you'll approach it. It'll just be hole number 14.
Yeah, it'll be three quarters of the way through the round.
All right. You want to start with the conclusion four from this weekend?
Let's do it, man. Loyola Chicago in it. How about that?
By the way, can you explain to listeners why I'm calling it the conclusion four?
Because that is something that is trademarked.
Mm-hmm.
The final four. We can talk about it during the sports pages. Yeah. We're doing a news segment. But you can't use that trademark term in a promotion. And Cakes and I have a promotion for the college basketball game, so we're going to be calling it different names as we are going to be at Tap Sports Bar Saturday night at 5, and there are going to be four teams playing.
Correct.
National semifinals, but we can't call it by that trademark name.
You can call it that as long as you're ponying up the rights fees to call it that, which we clearly are not doing.
Right.
So we're calling it a national college semifinals viewing party.
Yep,
it's very wordy.
First game on Saturday, Loyola Chicago continues their run. They beat Kansas State handily. I mean, this game was never in doubt if you watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, they worked them in the first half. They extended the lead in the second half. They were much better. By watching Kansas State in that game, look, Kansas State was an okay team. They were 9 seeds. So they were a bubble team for most of the year. But just watching them, I couldn't believe Kentucky lost to them.
Right, it was kind of stunning.
Well, Kentucky missed a ton of free throws.
Oh, no, it's fine. And anybody can beat anybody.
You knew from watching that game that once Loyola was up like 20, that K-State is not the sort of team that's designed to come back from that sort of deficit.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
But I guess my takeaway was Kansas State's not a very good basketball team.
Right.
I mean, they had a lot of wins this year, and this was a bad matchup for them, and it was a bad night for them.
Right.
But I can't believe Kentucky lost to that basketball team.
I know this is happening more and more that teams, you know, George Mason was the first. The teams like Loyola Chicago are advancing to the Final Four. But let me ask you something. The big white guy on Loyola Chicago?
Yeah, the freshman.
Is he good?
I mean,
he runs so slow. Like I can't believe he's getting it done.
He runs kind of dorky, but he's big. Actually got pretty good footwork.
He's a great college player.
Right.
Because he passes well, and he's really big, and he uses his body well.
He really uses his body well.
Yeah.
And he can finish. I mean, he's not going to go up and dunk on you. But he can finish.
He's college version.
You'd
Chris Kamen, who was a big, slow, white guy who made a great living for years in the NBA.
But if you went to your local gym, you know, LA Fitness, wherever you play, and you see this guy running up and down the court, you go, well, he's just a big, goofy white guy.
Yeah, big oaf.
Yeah, but he gets it done.
He's a big oaf in the Final Four. And Loyola Chicago's in the Final Four, and nobody predicted
that. As an 11 seed.
Fourth 11 seed to get to the Final Four. Of course, you had Mason do it. You had VCU do it.
Mm-hmm.
You had, who am I missing?
Butler?
Butler wasn't
11. Last year.
No, LSU. LSU back in the 80s, 86. They were 11.
Temple did it once.
As an 11 seed?
That's what I read. 1990 or something.
You sure about that?
Almost positive.
Oh, okay.
Who was kind of the outlier last year in the Final Four?
South Carolina.
South Carolina was a 7 seed. Though.
7, gotcha.
But see, this 11 seed, now Loyola is making a great run as an 11 seed. Won the Missouri Valley. But I can't compare it to 06 when Mason did, because Mason, if you remember, Mason beat Michigan State. They beat North Carolina.
Wichita State.
Wichita State was very good that
and
year.
And UConn.
And they beat a one seed in UConn.
Right. UConn with now, at least one pro on
Mason
the team,
ended
Rudy Gay.
Mason ended up losing to Florida in the Final Four.
Yeah.
But this year, I mean, Loyola Chicago beat Miami, who was a pretty good team. They beat Tennessee, a 3 seed, and then they beat Nevada. And then, of course, they beat Kansas State. I mean, it's just not—it's not equivalent,
not even close.
But it's still a great run.
It's magical.
It's a great run.
And Sister Jean is getting all this national attention.
She's a superstar. She's getting her ADs at an advanced age.
Tons of attention dollars
so
for Sister
many attention
Jean.
Dollars for her.
Mm-hmm.
She might be the one person on the planet that doesn't really care that much about the ADs.
So do you
now they're not going to play anymore. If first of all, they're going to play Michigan next. But they're not going to play any more of these afterthought teams that have survived upsets. Because you're right. They didn't have to play UVA. They didn't have to play 2 seed. Yes, they played a 3 seed, but they basically played a 3, a 7, a 9.
Yeah. It's just not. Do you find yourself rooting for Loyola Chicago?
Yes.
Although, you have to. Unless you have like some sort of
kind of like John Beilein's Michigan squad. I don't know why.
And by the way, that was an awful offensive game, the Michigan-Florida State game. And did you see the end of, did you see Leonard Hamilton's interview with Dana Jacobson?
Yes. It was awkward.
First of all, I don't understand what he was thinking in the game.
So the deal is, at the end of the game, he didn't foul when they were down by four with 11 seconds to go.
Yeah, they took a shot, a bad shot, a bad three, missed it. Michigan gets the rebound. And so they're up four. He doesn't foul. Okay. I don't know a coach in the country wouldn't foul there.
Right.
But before that, they made a pretty good run. They had a 10-2 run towards the end of that game with a couple minutes left to cut it to three.
Right.
Hit a bucket to cut it to three. And then Michigan has the ball. They let Michigan run the shot clock down 20 seconds. And then he fouled. They fouled Xavier Simpson, who's not a very good free throw shooter. But it's a three-point lead.
Correct.
If they make Michigan take a shot, get the rebound, then they obviously have a shot to tie.
Poor strategy by Leonard Hamilton the final minute.
Awful. Awful, awful, awful. Don't know what he was thinking. But after the game, he did an interview with Dana Jacobson from CBS, and Leonard Hamilton didn't even understand what happened at the end of the game. I mean, just clueless. And it was a very awkward interview. This is what it sounded like.
Take me through the final seconds of this game. Why didn't you guys foul?
What are you talking about?
Down the stretch there, the end of the game, the final seconds, 11 seconds left down the clock.
Do you think that the game came down to the final seconds of the game?
I'm asking you, though, why that decision in the final seconds of the game?
The game was over.
You didn't think your guys could get back in it, put them on the line if they miss those shots?
I mean, but 15 seconds, what were we down?
Put them on the line, they miss a few shots. Coach, a four-point ball game, it's a question that the guys were asking at the end of our game. That's all I'm asking. It didn't come down to that in your mind.
I thought they did a great job. They had a great game plan. They forced us into 14 turnovers in the first half. That was uncharacteristic of our team. And I think that you need to give them credit for what they did. Our kids fought their butt off to get back in the position, get themselves in a position where they had a chance to win. And I just want to give them the credit. I thought our kids fought very hard. They had a great year. The latter part of the game there, we was trying to get a foul on three of their kids. A couple of those kids were 75, 80% free throw shooters. The guys who we wanted to foul, obviously the opportunity wasn't there. But that doesn't have anything to do with the outstanding job that I thought that Michigan did. I thought they did an outstanding job of holding us to about a 6 or 7 period where we just couldn't find a basket.
Yeah, he sounds right, at the end, but it was the death stare at the
beginning.
Well,
hold on a second. Does anyone listening in the DMV understand one word of what Coach Hamilton just said? Does anybody understand anything he said in that 2-minute clip? Because I don't.
Well, I understand that he was targeting certain guys.
So you understand
certain guys.
You must be smarter than me because I don't understand anything you just said.
I think he's reverting back probably to, you know, pregame scouting report says these guys are good free throws. Don't foul them. These guys are not good free throws shooters. But he clearly botched the last minute. You just got to foul whoever.
Okay, but my point is he didn't understand what he was talking about. He didn't understand the question, and I don't understand the answer.
Yeah, I bet he just pivots to just lauding Michigan about how great they are for like a minute.
Right. He didn't understand time and score. He didn't understand the game situation. He didn't understand how much they were down by. He didn't understand how much time was on. He didn't understand anything.
I bet he understood the line was 4.5.
That's a misunderstanding.
Maybe. By the way, in that game, Florida State shot 16 for 51. That's 31.4%. They were 4 for 17 from threes. Michigan shot 19 for 49. That's 38.8%. They were 4 for 22 from threes.
Now,
by the
way, the biggest shooting throughout the NCAA tournament.
This was an awful offensive game, but Michigan just gets it done. Much better coach.
By the way, we're sleeping on one of the bigger stories of the weekend. How did my bets do with you? People were telling me I was on fire for my crazy random bets over the weekend.
Hold on, let me check.
I need to figure this out. We need to go back to the tally sheet.
All right, you had West Virginia for a dollar. You had West Virginia over 152.5.
Valdez, is that a ding?
That flew over.
That's a flew over.
Ding.
You had Texas Tech +2.
Oh, against Purdue?
Against Purdue.
They won outright.
Won outright. You had a tease where you had the this is from the this is the Duke Syracuse game under 137.5
winner,
which hit, and you had Syracuse plus 15.5
winner.
And then you had Kansas laying 5.
Fat one.
Yep.
I think you're shipping your boys some chips.
Are each of those $1 bets?
One of them I put $2 on. I remember, but the rest were $1.
She might be walking out about $6.
I'll take $6.
Actually, no, you lost Kansas because they won by 4, didn't they?
And they beat Clemson by 4. Yeah, against Clemson.
All right, so, down $5.
So I owe you
$3. Oh, three.
It's nice. $3, I'll take that. It's a nice score.
I owe you $3.
$3.
But so the other side of the bracket, you got Michigan, Loyola, Chicago. Other side of the bracket, it's 2-1 seeds.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to... I know we got to go to break. We have to talk about the Duke-Kansas game. So let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll do another little, because we have to talk about the Wizards. So we'll do more sports. Awful performance by the Wizards this weekend. Awful.
Stinky.
Terrible. To lose to a bad team in Denver at home, who is an awful road team, and then they lost to the Knicks yesterday. So let's take a break. We'll get back into the sports page when we come back. We'll definitely talk about the Duke-Kansas game, because I have some thoughts on that. Stay with us.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. EB on vacation this week, so he was sick, and he missed a few shows, but now he's in his vacation, if you were wondering why there's an empty seat today.
Yes. So the spring and summer vacations begin.
Case is off next week, right?
Yeah, seeing a four-man show between now and football season, it's like seeing a unicorn running around with a holy grail in its hand, or its hoof, or whatever you want to call it. It's going to be tough.
Those days are over.
Yeah, pretty much.
No more four-man shows until September.
It might be tough. It's going to be the outlier. I know that.
I don't have anything on the books for spring or summer yet.
You don't? Look at you.
Mm-mm.
But I know you've got your wraparound Thanksgiving vacation lined up. I know you've got that on the books.
I'm going to do something there.
That's a smart move.
All right, so I wanted to talk about the games from yesterday. Villanova beats Texas Tech by 12. Just kind of outclassed Texas Tech. They're just much better. Villanova did not shoot the ball well, but the reason they win by 12 is because in the first half in particular, Texas Tech couldn't guard Villanova, and they sent them to the line a bunch.
Right.
And they got into foul trouble early. In fact, Villanova made 29 free throws, and they're a really good free throw shooting team. So if you foul them and you put them in the bonus, they're just going to kill you.
I feel like the running theme of the tournament is didn't shoot very well. There aren't that many good shooting teams.
Well,
it's a lot of ugly hoops at times.
At times it is. And this past weekend, those four games wasn't the best.
Loyola Chicago.
Yeah, Loyola Chicago.
They shot very well.
They probably shot 52%.
Of games.
Yeah, they did. But you're right, for the most part. But Villanova is just so good. They're such a good passing team. They're smart. They're well-coached. Brunson's a beast. You know, he was backing down Evans pretty much the entire second half. Evans couldn't guard him.
Yeah.
But they got into foul trouble early, and they sent them to the line a bunch, and they hit 29 free throws, and that was pretty much the difference. So Villanova gets there, and then you had what we knew was going to be the best game of the four. And that was Duke Kansas. 85-81.
And you were convinced Duke was going to win.
I thought Duke would win. Yeah, I think Duke is the more talented team. But again, what did we say about Duke all year long? You just kind of worry about their freshmen playing like freshmen. And one of their freshmen who they really counted on all year long is Wendell Carter Jr., and he was awful. Wendell Carter was terrible, fouled out of the game. Now, the call that fouled him out was a terrible call. They called a block on him. He was outside the circle. It was definitely a charge, but so he got screwed there. But he was awful offensively. He had 2 rebounds. Kansas attacked the zone. They went inside out. They shot the ball pretty well. Malik Newman was unstoppable. Malik Newman had all 13 points for Kansas in the overtime.
Yeah, he had 32 for the game.
I mean,
just a beast.
You know, and Duke, look, I just didn't understand why Coach K didn't call timeout with 25 seconds left after Mikhailuk drained the 3 to tie it up at 72. Drabby Valdez, not sure if you watched the game.
Are you talking, was this an overtime or regulation?
No, and the regulation, Mikhailuk drills the 3, ties the game at 72. There's 25 seconds left.
Because he doesn't want the defense to get set.
Maybe 23 seconds left. Okay, that's fine, but the play that they came up with was a terrible play. He basically just said, Grayson, you're my senior. I want you to go out and do something. And he put up just a low percentage shot that, you know, it almost went in, and he's hit shots like that before. But if I'm Coach K, I want my guy who's going to be drafted in the top two or three to touch the ball in that possession.
I get it.
That's just me.
I just know the coaching strategy. We asked Chris Knocke about this recently, that they don't like the defenses to get set. So if you're in that situation, tie game, just go run your offense. Obviously, it didn't work out.
Didn't work out.
I thought you were talking about, see, I had so many people over the house, I could barely watch it. I mean, I was kind of aware of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there was what wasn't a timeout, but a replay, which was critical in the overtime period, which really was a timeout. They were able to get their players together there with about
the ball getting
45
knocked.
Seconds left. I don't remember exactly how much time was on the clock.
Yes.
So I thought you were talking about, why didn't he call a timeout there? I was like, because basically he had a free timeout.
No. I'm just talking about when the game is tied and there's 23 seconds left.
Right.
I would hope that Coach K would call a better play than that.
Yeah, but every single one of those end-of-the-game situations comes down to a one-on-one breakdown, and that's what Grayson Allen did. He had the ball rolled around twice and came out somehow. I mean, he got a look at the basket. He was 5 feet away.
Okay, but it wasn't a great look.
Plus, you're not going to give the ball to Bagley at the end of the game. You're going to give the ball to your senior Grayson Allen, who can create his own shot.
But he was awful yesterday. I would much rather have Bagley touch the ball there than Grayson Allen take an off-balanced, low-percentage shot. That's just me.
Well, Duke's going to have a totally different team next year because Grayson Allen will move on to the NBA.
They'll all be gone.
Bagley, Carter, Trent, all these guys are going to be gone.
At least three of those kids.
Yeah, but they're bringing in a fresh new crop.
Understood.
But it's just one and doneers.
A totally different team.
Devastating loss for them.
I don't think you can say freshmen playing like freshmen and then have your choice of giving it to a senior or having your freshman handle it with 25 seconds left at the end of a game to go to the Final Four. I don't think it's a bad call to put it in Grayson's hands.
It might not be a bad call, but it was a bad shot. It was a bad shot. That's all they could come up with.
Right.
And you can say that the ball almost went in, but it didn't.
Just run a 1-4 set.
And it wasn't.
Did they run essentially the 1-4?
That's all they did.
Yeah.
They just ran.
Well, they liked their odds in that.
They ran ISO, and that's the shot they came up with. For me, that's not what I would have done. I would have had Bagley handle that ball, get the ball into Bagley in the post at some point. Maybe he gets fouled. Maybe he misses a shot.
Or maybe you set up a 1-4, and then you bring Bagley out for a pick and roll.
Well, they didn't.
Yeah.
In my opinion, America wins. No Duke in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Everybody wins. Unless you went to Duke, you're not rooting for them.
And all the Grayson Allen haters are loving it because he didn't play well, and you know he missed that last shot, which would have won. And he missed a couple of threes in the overtime, too. Now, they were down five, but he missed back-to-back threes. He just looked gassed. Kansas
haters
was better.
Haters are going to hate.
Duke was 7 for 29 from threes, and Kansas was 13 for 36. Now, a ton of threes were taken, obviously, by Kansas, but against the zone, that's what you expect.
Do we know if Kansas Villanova, which is the one seed versus the one seed, is that the late game on Saturday when Cakes and I are at
I'm sure it is.
The early game, I think, tips at like 6:09, and the late game, I think, is slated for like 8:50 p.m.
And we tip off at 5 p.m. at Tap Sports Bar?
That's correct.
Very nice.
And by the way,
MGM National Harbor.
Here's another huge reason why Duke lost that game. They got murdered on the boards.
Well, I think a lot of teams who zone it up get beaten on the boards.
I don't know that for a fact, but they don't get beat. Get beat by 15.
I always hear from analysts that it's tougher to rebound in the zone.
It is tougher to rebound in the zone.
But you got to find your guy to block
out. When you've got Bagley and Carter and Bolden, you know, guys who are 6'11", you shouldn't be getting beat off the boards by 15.
I think you're still a Duke fan.
No, I'm not. And in fact, I took Kansas in the game. Plus 3.5. Big
I always
fat.
Get that
Big
sense winner. That Jason's a Duke fan. You know, it goes back to his back-to-back national champions.
No, believe me, I'm not a Duke fan. I'm just a basketball
fan. He's a whoever covers fan. That's what he's a fan of.
Yeah. I just thought it was just an awful way to end that game. Anyway, so you've got Kansas playing Villanova, and you've got Loyola Chicago playing Michigan. So you've got 2-1s, a 3, and an 11. And I would assume that unless you're a fan of those particular schools, if you're just a general college hoops fan, you're probably a huge Loyola Chicago fan.
It'd be a great story because we've yet to see that underdog team, that really low seed, win it all. We've seen Final Four runs, but win it all?
Can't they reseed? Nobody wants to watch Michigan, Loyola in a Final Four game. Kansas?
Can they reseed? Yeah, but they're not reseeding.
Well, I think they should. Because
it's just the way the brackets work out, bro.
Do that for gambling reasons.
It's just the way the brackets work out.
There are millions of brackets filled out. Why are you trying to upset the apple cart over there, Mr. Cahill?
Because no one's going to watch a national championship game if one of those two,
if Loyola Chicago wins.
They want their big dogs in the championship.
Do you think Loyola Chicago is going to beat Michigan?
I think they have a great shot, obviously.
I mean, Michigan survived a scare in the second round.
I get it.
Yeah, but then they blew out whoever they played in the Elite Eight.
True.
I think that they're certainly a much better team. Now, they didn't shoot particularly well on Saturday, but I think that if they play like they did in the A&M game, I mean, Loyola Chicago's got no shot. At some point, Loyola Chicago's run's going to end, whether it's Saturday or it's Monday, I don't know. But I think a lot of people are going to be rooting for Loyola Chicago.
Well, it could run out
with the
championship.
No way.
They're not going to beat Villanova.
You said no way they're in the Final Four a week ago.
I know, but okay. But my point is, you're really going to start playing real good teams here. All right, they played some so-so teams. They beat Tennessee. Nevada was pretty good. Kansas State was awful. Now you're going to play a really good team, and then a better team if you get past Michigan.
They've beaten a 3, a 7, and 9.
But they're not going to recede, though. That's the way the brackets work. All right. So another awful performance from the weekend was the Wizards. The Wizards lost to Denver on Friday at home. Denver coming into that game was 12 and 23 on the road. Lost that game 108-100. And then yesterday is just inexcusable. I don't know how you lose to the Knicks, especially at home. After losing to Denver, you got to be refocused. You've got to win that game. You're slipping in the standings. But maybe it's good. JP and I were talking before the show. Maybe it's better that the Wizards finish 7th.
How far are they from the 7th seed right now?
One game.
Yeah, because right now, if you end up as a 6th seed, look, they could still move up and be a 4 or 5, which I think is fine. But you don't want to be the 6th seed and face Cleveland, who's the 3.
Ooh, what you're telling me is I'm rooting for an in-season Wizards tank job.
Well, yes, I can do
would you
that.
You
can
either take Cleveland, the tank or job. Would you rather
I'd rather play Boston.
Boston
without Kyrie Irving, of course.
Because Kyrie's not going to play in the first round.
He's definitely not playing the first round.
He's out 3 to 6 weeks.
He was having I know that Steph Curry is going to miss first round of the playoffs.
I'm assuming.
But I thought with Kyrie, who was having, the way I saw it was more of kind of like a cleanup surgery. It was nothing that he tore or whatever. They were just going in there to, I don't know, take out some scar tissue.
They called it a tension wire.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what was going on. Right, but I could see Kyrie playing.
Maybe not, but I'm just going to assume. And if he's playing, he's certainly not going to be 100%.
Yeah, I'd rather take a hobbled Kyrie if he's playing.
Cleveland is starting to put it together a little bit. Now, they can lose games to whoever, but they've won 5 straight.
But LeBron's also they're playing Phoenix. And they're playing bad teams.
Yeah. But you know what? Washington's losing to poo-poo.
That is true.
That's a problem.
That's the thing that Washington...
That's just an awful job by softer. Them.
Look,
that's
they need John Wall back.
Yeah.
Remember all that crazy discussion? Are they a better team without John Wall? No!
Okay, but you don't need John Wall to beat the Knicks.
Correct.
And you don't need John Wall to beat the Nuggets.
But he helps.
He helps.
You don't need him, but he certainly helps.
That's just a bad job by the Wizards. Man, that's bad.
Their record now without John Wall is getting much closer to 500. Started out 10-2.
I mean, I know it's an aside, but also a poor look to lose a game against a bottom dweller like the Knicks when you're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the 1978 title at halftime of the game.
I didn't know that.
And I believe they hung Phil Chenier's jersey to the rafters on Friday night.
Correct.
Denver lost.
So celebrating before the game, and then they lose.
Yeah.
Sorry, that shouldn't affect it.
It shouldn't.
You should beat the Nuggets, and you certainly should beat the Knicks. Knicks are 27-47. You have to beat them. I don't care who's playing point guard.
That's the Knicks without Porzingis. That's the Knicks with like Mike Beasley and Trey Burke and Luke Kornet and just a bunch of numbers.
That's an embarrassment.
It's a bad loss.
All right, phone number you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.